30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. Good morning and happy Monday. Welcome to 30 Minute Reviews. I am Adam, here today to talk about some news from the last week, who won at the box office, what's coming to theaters this week, and on top of that, we have a new segment we're going to do, which is bringing back an old segment from back in the day. We got some cool stuff today. Let's see, where are we going to start? Let's start out with the trailer for Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. This is a video game story, which we didn't do last week, but, whoops. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, besides sounding like a name for a, like, toddler's book about Indiana Jones, which it does. It sounds like it's like, you know, he's on the quest to find a circle, and it's like a board book kind of thing it sounds like. That's not what we're here to talk about, though. We're not here to make fun of the name, although we will get plenty of that in. No, we will be talking... The trailer looks kind of interesting, and I think it could be cool. It doesn't look exactly like Uncharted. It has enough things in common with Uncharted that is kind of piquing my interest as someone who never played Uncharted, but watched the movie and enjoyed it to an understandable degree. But it looks kind of fun. They're kind of nailing the aesthetic. I'm not entirely sure why it's not third person. Like, you would think part of the experience of it is getting to see Indiana Jones, but not being able to see it because it's in first person feels like kind of a weird decision. I'm not entirely sure why they went in this direction, but, you know, we're gonna play it because it's gonna be on Game Pass, it's gonna be on PC, so I will be playing it on my computer when it comes out, just like I've been playing Pal World, and we'll talk about that later this week on the backlog files, but yeah, I'm interested to see what this game has to offer when it does fully come out. It takes place between Raiders of the Lost Ark and The Last Crusade, because if you recall, Temple of Doom is a prequel, so it's in timeline order. It's Temple of Doom, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then Last Crusade, and then Kingdom of Crystal Skull, and then Dial of Destiny. This is between those two. I'm interested to see how it plays out, though. I think this game, and I think it's good. I think I'm not going to talk about the entire developer direct, but I think that this was Xbox saying we do have something to offer. I think last year was not the strongest year for Xbox because, like, I enjoyed Starfield enough. I don't feel like I enjoyed it enough where it's like, this is a great game. Like, when we did Game of the Year a few weeks ago, as part of our year in review, it was not in contention for me. And I played the fuck out of that game, but it was not in contention for me to be my Game of the Year. To that end, I think that, like, you know, between that and what was the other game that came out that just bombed? Redfall? That was terrible. I mean, they had Forza, and Forza was apparently really good. I didn't play it. But Xbox, you know, kind of fell behind. And Xbox, I mean, Phil Spencer himself said they lost the last generation. They lost in the PS4, Xbox One generation. And I think that putting your games on PC is a smart move. I mean, it's a smart move for me because I'm not going to buy an Xbox now. But I think that it is an interesting choice. What this shows is that they're trying to fill the void that Sony has left this year. Sony does not have a major holiday release this year. I think that part of it is... and look, let's be real. There's one big thing on the table this year that's a giant unknown, but is almost certainly happening. And that's whatever the successor to the Nintendo Switch is, I think that's certainly coming out this year. And I think that that's certainly going to be like holiday of this year. And I think the other developers know this, and they're kind of giving it a wide berth. And being like, look, we are not going to be able to compete with whatever that is, because the Switch sold like hotcakes. If you're putting out a sequel, and then we don't know what's going to be a launch title for it. Will there, like, if they're smart, I think that a new Animal Crossing is the launch title. Like, that's the thing you bundle in. Not bundle in like Wii Sports, but bundle in as, like, you can get this plus the game for, you know, $350. Like, that's the thing you bundle together and go and get people on board with it. If not that, we could be getting Metroid Prime. We could be getting a remaster of Breath of the Wild. We could be getting a new 3D Mario game. Like, there are plenty of things. I mean, there could be a Pokemon remake coming out this year. We won't know until next month. Because there could be a remake of Black and White. There could be a remake of... There could be a new Let's Go game. We don't know. And that's a big, you know, open-ended situation to have going into the third and fourth quarter of this year. So I understand the studios wanting to take a, you know, kind of step around that space and not get directly involved if they don't know what's explicitly going to happen. So I think, too, it's like, if you look at the announcements there, it's kind of like they're leaving holiday kind of open. It's like, it's coming in 2024, but, like, is this just going to take Starfield's slot last year where it's, like, early September? That way they're not going to get in the way of the Switch 2. Or is this going to take Spider-Man's slot even in mid-October? Because I think November is probably the release of the Switch 2, but are they doing that? And then Sony has kind of not given us too much of anything. We don't know what Sony's got this year. They don't have a big title coming out in October. They don't have a big holiday title this year. I don't think they have any big titles, you know, besides they have the exclusivity on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, but that's February. Beyond that, I don't know what else they really have off the top of my head. And that's a problem, too, for Sony. But we'll see. We will see how that all plays out in the coming days. The trailer looks great, though. And the trailers will be attached to the link of the article when this goes up. Number two. Number one, Gizmodo did not realize that Madam Web was a period piece. I saw that article this morning, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, there was a guy playing a PSP on a subway just for the hell of it. What made you not realize this was a period piece? But beyond that, you have the issue of there is no post-credit scene, number one. Number two, it takes place in the standalone universe because there was some miscommunication about where this takes place in the various timelines. Now, to start out with the timeline situation, apparently, according to reports, this movie was intended to take place in the Andrew Garfield universe. Then it was pivoted to be MCU adjacent, where it was going to be adjacent to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and have the Spider-Man that they are referencing be Tom Holland. Then all that got thrown out the window, and they're like, fuck it, now it's in a third one independent. It is a standalone universe independent of Spider-Man, of a Spider-Man we've already seen. And I'm like, all right, cool. Now, my question is, how is this not the best of these movies? Like, of these Sony universe of Marvel characters. Because here's the thing. This movie does not look good from this trailer that I've seen 15 times before every movie I've seen over the last few months. This trailer does not look good. It does not look entertaining. It does not look... It looks kind of like a rejected CW pilot. It gives me major Gotham Knights vibes, and that's not a good thing. And I think that, like, if we look at this movie as that, it's kind of weird that this movie is not as good leading into it if it is not at all adjacent to any universe that we already exist. Like the issue I have is, like, to an extent, one of the big pitfalls of comic book storytelling right now is dealing with legacy. The legacy of the universe that the movie takes place in and the legacy of the character that exists. Madam Web has neither of those things, because Madam Web does not have a robust history as a character, and Madam Web, as it stands, is not tied to any existing, to any existing universe. So if it is standing on its own, and it is its own thing, why are we not just letting the writers have carte blanche to do whatever they want? Why does this movie have to feel like it's weird? And in a way, the fact that Like, had they said from the beginning, this movie is not tied to any existing universe, this is just a standalone thing. It's not even Venomverse tied, it's not even Morbiusverse tied, it's not anything like that. It's just kind of on its own. The idea that it exists in its own and can stand on its own merits, that's something that would have interested me about this movie. But the fact that that's not the case is kind of weird. And then it brings you back to, okay, so we also have Venom 3 coming this year, or Ven-3-um, or, no, not Ven-3-um, V3-enum, or V3-m, I guess. It's V3-N-E-M, which is weird. N-O-M, V3-N-O-M, that's what it is. But, like, beyond that, like, we have that movie also coming out this year. So if that's the case, where do we stand with Kraven? Is Kraven in the Venomverse? Is Kraven in another universe? And here we have this issue of things are not lining up. I think that for what last year was, like, I don't think we could say last year was a complete failure for Marvel Studios, because they still had the success of what's it called? They had a major success in Guardians of the Galaxy, and they had a moderate success in, it wasn't the, it didn't make the money of Ant-Man and the Wasp or Ant-Man, but they had a moderate success in Quantumania. They made back its budget. I mean, Marvel's bombed, but that's beside the point. Last year was not a complete failure for Marvel Studios in the way it was for DC. Last year was a complete and utter failure for DC. And part of that comes from the fact that they announced there's a new universe coming. A lot of it comes from the fact that none of the movies they made were very good. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But this could be that for Sony. And I think what this ends up with is a major rethinking of how Sony goes forward doing these adjacent movies. And if that's the case, where do, are we more selective in what we're doing, and are we trying to tie it all together, or are we just telling stories with these characters and hoping for the best? And if it's the case that we can't use Spider-Man himself, why don't we use the other Spider characters? Why don't we do a standalone Spider-Gwen movie? Like, I do wonder, part of me wonders, could they do that with Emma Stone potentially coming off of her second Oscar win this year? Could this be a Blade situation? Where they go to Emma Stone come March when she wins her second Oscar for Poor Things. And they say to her, hey, we want to do a Spider-Gwen movie. Do you want to be the lead? And then they bring her in to be the lead. And they let her develop the character and develop, like, pick the director, pick the, like, if that's the case, I think we could be looking at a winner here. Like, a great movie. And then it's like, why are we doing that? Why aren't we, like, if we're going to do this movie with all these three spider women, like, great. But why were we not doing Anya Corazon as her own movie to start out? Like, I'm not saying we need to do, like, oh, well, you got to do solo movies for everything, you know, before we get the crossover. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is if you can use these characters, why are we not leading with that? Why are we not leading with the Anya Corazon Spider-Girl movie, or Spider-Woman movie? Why are we not leading with Julia Carpenter? Why are we not leading with these characters leading their own movie? Because you mean to tell me that you don't think that Sydney Sweeney leading a Spider-Girl movie on her own wouldn't get people interested enough to go and see the movie? We need to sit here and be like, oh, well, we're going to throw in Dakota Johnson and Madame Web as well, and it's going to be this big thing, and it's going to tie in Spider-Man. I think that what this is more of Sony making bad decisions that they were historically making before the deal with Marvel Studios. And that's kind of what this is. This is a relic of that. And we'll see how it plays out when it comes out, but let's see how it goes. Number 3. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 drops the Part 1 from the title. I think we had an indication of this in the past, but now it's official. When Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning hits Paramount Plus in the near future, it will just be Dead Reckoning, not Dead Reckoning Part 1. Which, I think the rationale for this is, we don't want to make people who didn't see this movie think they have to see it before seeing Part 2. Like, very much, I still think that whatever Dead Reckoning Part 2 is going to be is still going to be that movie, kind of intact as is, with a different title. I don't think they're reworking it entirely and just abandoning the subplot that, or not subplot, the overarching plot of these two movies, just to see what, you know, just because this first one wasn't put out well. And again, this movie shouldn't have bombed the way it did. That's the big issue here. Paramount totally fucked themselves last year. Paramount had a terrible year at the box office in 2023, and it shouldn't have been that way. When you're releasing Dungeons and Dragons, when you're releasing a new Transformers movie, when you're releasing Mission Impossible, when you're releasing, they had another really good one, I forgot what it was, but when you have those three movies coming out, you had the potential to have a great year. You had the potential to have the best year of any of the studios. And that's even saying Transformers wasn't that good. Like, but the issue was, you didn't give these movies a chance. And I'm not saying you, the audience, I mean you, Paramount. You gave these movies the worst possible dates. You put out Mission Impossible, which is a visual spectacle of a film that was very expensive to make because you kept all the staff on during COVID, which is commendable. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But You gave this movie a date where it couldn't come out in IMAX because it was the IMAX had the exclusive contract with Nolan for Oppenheimer. So right there, you're setting it up for a diminished run. It was still, like, and look, I don't think anyone would have forecasted Barbenheimer happening last year, where Barbie's making $1 billion and Oppenheimer's making $1 billion. No one saw that coming. No one saw that coming. But I can tell you this, like, you could have put it in August and it would have been better. It would have given you more space. Because August, like, Blue Beetle was the only thing that came out. And I think that even, like, third week, like, I don't think that the forecast for Blue Beetle was abundantly positive. Because I'm fairly certain people didn't think Blue Beetle was coming out until the week the movie was coming. Like, until the movie was coming out in the theater, I didn't believe I was seeing it. And that all stands for The Flash. But if you moved it there, you would have been better off. It also came out, like, the week after, like, didn't it also come out, like, the week after The Flash? Or something like that? Or, like, very close. No, The Flash was in June. This was in July. It was, like, the week after Oppenheimer and Barbie. Which is, like, what the fuck? Like, I get that you maybe thought that this wasn't going to be a cultural touchstone. But, like, just the premium formats being locked up alone is a questionable choice. And then it was, like, you put out Dungeons & Dragons in the middle of a stacked March, which is a piss-poor decision. You put out, what was the other one they put out? Transformers. They put out in between The Flash. It was Spider-Man, Across the Spider-Verse, Transformers, The Flash. Why would you do that? That's just stupid. Like, it's just a bad date to put that movie on. It's questionable. Like, I don't understand what the thought process there was. And I get it. 2023 for movies was very much landing of a lot of planes that were kind of postponed because of COVID with, you know, development delays and all of shooting delays. I get it. But come the fuck on. You had to do something. Like, you had to rearrange the dates somehow. Like, where do we even start on this? Oh, Mission Impossible. So, I think Dead Reckoning is still coming. Dead Reckoning Part 2 is still coming in the exact form it was. It just with a different title. It will not be Dead Reckoning Part 2. I think that's the big confirmation here. Number four. Who the fuck... How do I put this? I am not a fan of this new world order we're in, where anytime a movie comes out and it is not good, the fans feel the need to exonerate the director by bullying the production company or the distributor into releasing their cut. Because now there's a new movement to release the Wong cut. And I get it. A lot of this is coming from people who are anti-gun taking over DC, who are like, oh, look, the studio came in and interfered. I don't know. I'm not going to go out and say that Gunn didn't interfere. I don't know what Gunn did or didn't do. But I think it was Momoa who said, like, or it was either Jason Momoa or Patrick Wilson, or Tamora, it was someone who said that there was a much better cut of Aquaman, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom that, you know, that got cut up by the studio, and now people want the release of the Wan cut of the movie. I'm gonna be honest, I don't think, like, of the three release the blank cuts we've had Snyder, we've had Ayer, and now we have Juan. I don't think that Juan gives a fuck if his cut of the movie ever sees the light of day. This man is a producing machine in the horror field. He's got the Conjuring universe. He's got a bunch of other shit going on. I think he could care less if people think Aquaman was bad. There's a reason we didn't see him doing a ton of press. I don't think he gives a shit if people blame him for Aquaman 2 not being good, because he's got so much other shit going on. It's like, all right, fine. You don't want, like, the man passed Transformers, not Transformers, Fast and the Furious. Like, if he leaves Fast and the Furious, like, he doesn't need these big franchises. He does his own thing. He's kind of one of the biggest names in horror right now as a producer. Like, his production company works with Blumhouse very closely and always makes a ton of money because they keep the budget very low. Why would he wade into this conflict? Like, what does he gain? All he can do is lose. Because if the movie comes out and it's like the Snyder Cut, which for Snyder's fan base was exonerating, but for the vast majority of people, it's like, all right. I mean, it's just 4 hours long and it's a few things that are kind of the same. Like, it's not that big a deal. It's not that big of a difference where it's like, oh, it's much better now. It's like, no. Like, we've talked about it before with the Snyder Cut. The issue with the Snyder Cut is the things that got cut, number one, shouldn't have been in the movie to begin with. There should have been a Cyborg movie before this to kind of lay all that out, because a lot of what gets cut is Cyborg's backstory. And it's not the failing of Warner Brothers for having, for letting Zack Snyder do this. It's the failing of Warner Brothers for letting Zack Snyder do this and then feeling the need to spend 2 hours in a movie re-examining that. Like, there's a lot going on here. It's the failing of Warner Brothers by saying, okay, go ahead, you're gonna make a 4 hour movie. Here's your 4.5 hour script. Go make the movie. And then he delivers the 4.5 movie and it's like, oh, we thought you were gonna cut some of this. But no, like, that's where the failing comes in. And to that end, I don't think we need to see a director's cut of Aquaman 2. And I think Aquaman 2 was serviceable. I don't think it's that bad of a movie. It's not great. I'm probably never going to want to watch it again. But I don't think it's a bad movie. Like, it's not, like DC had two bad movies this year, with Shazam and The Flash. Like, they had two, like, bona fide bad movies. And that's not one of them. So let's see how, you know, this is not going to go anywhere. I don't think this is going to be even like the Ayer cut, where it's like the staying power of the Ayer cut is a little bit much, even though David Ayer wants nothing to do with it. And I think, too, for David Ayer and Zack Snyder, it meant more because they had less opportunities. Like, Zack Snyder, like, he went to Netflix because Netflix wanted to capitalize on his fan base. But at the same time, it's like, that was after the Snyder Cut. And it's like, oh, we can use, like, that fan base to our advantage. And Netflix has. Very much so. Ayer, I don't think, is The Beekeeper Ayer's first directing thing since The Suicide Squad? Or Suicide Squad. The Suicide Squad was gone since Suicide Squad. I think it was. So it's impacted him. So at this point, if he's willing to cast it aside, then what is it? What are we doing here? And our final news story, not really a shock, but kind of disappointing. Not for Jonathan Majors, but for the filmmakers behind the movie. Sundance Favorite came out last year. Magazine Dreams has been dropped by Searchlight. They're trying to find a new home following following Jonathan Majors. And I said it when Searchlight acquired it. This is Disney trying to get Jonathan Majors an Oscar. So that way they could say Oscar-nominated Jonathan Majors playing Kang the Conqueror. Or Oscar-winning Jonathan Majors playing Kang the Conqueror. That's what this movie was. And it was supposed to come out in December. They shelved it indefinitely. They have since dropped it under a morality clause. It sucks for the filmmakers behind the movie, who had this and could have potentially used it to jettison their career, to boost their career, but, I get it. You don't want to have Jonathan Majors associated with you at this point, if at all possible. But I do feel bad for those filmmakers. Hopefully they get another project soon and they're able to, what's it called? They're able to land on their feet after this. So, on to last weekend's box office. Last weekend, holding steady at number one was Mean Girls with a 59% downward departure, or downward decline to 11.7 million. The Beekeeper holds steady at number two with 8.4 million with a 49% drop off. Wonka holds steady at number three at 6.4 million, bringing its total to $187 million, which is fantastic for the budget. That movie is that was only a 24% drop off. Anyone But You stays at number four with 5.4 million, a 24% drop off. Because apparently, I mean, look, it's a rom-com. Rom-coms have staying power. And number five is Migration. I believe Migration was also number five last week with a 5.3% with a 15% drop off down to 5.3 million. Newcomer ISS did not chart in the top five. It only pulled in 3.02 million, falling way behind. Also, no box office tracking for that other movie, Freud's Last Session. New in theaters this week, we do not have anything. Allegedly, this weekend is Sometimes I Think About Dying, which go over to the Beware of Spoilers episode we did about it last year at Sundance. We will where I talk about it at length. It's a fantastic movie. If it's playing by you, I would highly recommend you see that movie. Daisy Ridley's fantastic in it, and it is just great. It's just great all around. So check that out. If it's playing by you, I think it's a limited theatrical run. But that's the only one on the slate. There is a black and white version of Godzilla Minus One that is hitting theaters as well, and we will see how that does compare to the regular color run. And our new segment, which is the return of Expand Your Collection. With physical media dying out, I'm here to be the death rattle for it, to tell you what's coming to physical media this week, so that way, if you want to have it and not have some company be able to take it away from your streaming service on a whim or something like that, here is what you can get. This week we have two major releases on DVD or Blu-ray or 4K, however you want to watch it. DC's Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1 hits DVD this week, as well as Season 1 of Spec Ops Lioness with Zoe Saldana over on Paramount Plus. That is coming to DVD this week if you want to pick that up. That's a Tyler Sheridan joint over there. But we'll wrap up there for today. I gotta work on timing because we don't have time for our movie. So, we also have other stuff happening this week. Let me look at my schedule. So far on the schedule, we have American Fiction on Wednesday for Beware of Spoilers tomorrow morning. This is Monday. So today, the same day as this is going up, over on Beware of Spoilers, you can hear my thoughts on the most recent episode of Percy Jackson. Tomorrow, we'll be doing catch-up on True Detective Season 4. We'll do it in batches of two, so we'll do the second episode tomorrow. The first and second episode tomorrow, we'll be doing that new show with Peter Capaldi on Apple TV on Wednesday, and then Thursday we'll be back with Percy Jackson. I think it's episode 7 at that point. But what else have we got? Over on the backlog files this week, we're talking about Pokemon Hey You Pikachu is the game. Later this week, we'll also be talking about Palworld, the new Pokemon-like. It's closer to, like, an Ark Combat or Ark Survival Evolved, whatever that game was. It's closer to that than it is Pokemon, but we'll be talking about that later this week as well. What else have we got? I think that just about wraps up. Josie's on vacation, so we do not have Exploring Hyperspace Lanes, but we will be back with that in February when she returns from wherever she went. I forgot where. And she also doesn't like me telling you guys where she is in the world. But we'll wrap up there for today. And until next week, have a great rest of your week.